Hate Hotline, what's on your mind?
Let me tell you something, you fat fucking piece of lard. You're nothing. They couldn't find enough cows in this country to build a belt big enough to hold your fucking lard-ass pants up. Listen to me. You are, like I said, you're that one...
What was that? That was a recording direct from my imagination. What made me think those thoughts? I saw a story online. The teaser was... California's new hate hotline. And that exchange was what I imagined it would be. Raw, nasty, honest, cathartic. That finally, some bureaucrat in Sacramento had grown a brain and funded something fun and productive. A 24/7 call center where you could verbally unload on a real person without fear of being canceled, losing your job, or maybe even your freedom, as in, Canuckadah up north. But I was wrong. How wrong? Stay with me.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Well, I never really believed that the California hate hotline would be what I envisioned. Instead, it's the usual commie bullshit, a way to create jobs for idiots and further erode free speech. The hate hotline is for snowflakes to bitch about people whose words offended them. Maybe their looks, too. That's considered an offense on many campuses, the way you look at someone. Are you sick of assholes trying to not just deny human nature, but eliminate it? They do it across the board. Commies want to do away with the concept of personal property, which is antithetical to human nature. You work for something it's yours to have and hold, but not in commie land, where everything is shared. And the USA is really commie land now, forced sharing through taxation. So now Californians have to pay for the idiotic hate hotline. So glad I don't live there anymore. Hate is an emotion, isn't it? And a valuable one. Hate fuels combat, self-preservation, self-defense, defense of one's family. But little commie shits, they want your hate banned. Of course, their souls are brimming with hatred, but they want your hatred to be taboo, neutralized, which will render you defenseless. People who claim they hate no one or no thing, well, they're either brain damaged or full of shit. And the "what would Jesus do" trope that doesn't hold up. JC, twice in his brief public life, waded into the temple with an improvised weapon and kicked ass on thieves and loan sharks that were desecrating that temple, which he referred to as his father's house. So he got violent, very violent, in defense of property. How about that? Hate and anger are God-given emotions. There's nothing wrong with them. In moderation, they serve a valuable purpose. But back to that goofy hate hotline. Before the state of California came up with that ridiculous version, people sort of did a DIY version of crazy phone calls, the scary call, the heavy breather, the prank call. Once upon a time, those calls, or some combo of all three, could be a springboard for terror, annoyance, vengeance, or belly laughs. Digital technology destroyed just about all telephonic anonymity. The death of public phones has deprived literature, as well as TV and movies, of endless storylines, plot twists, and suspenseful titles. When a stranger calls, dial M for murder, Butterfield 8, Surfside 6, 976, Evil, phone booth, huh? Maybe the last one? With Colin Farrell, it was filmed in 2002. Payphones and phone booths were the backbone of many hit songs. Sylvia's Mother by Dr. Hook, Operator by Jim Croce, Call Me, and Hanging on the Telephone by Blondie. The list is long. Phone booths were ubiquitous around the world, and they were truly egalitarian. Anyone with one thin dime could place a call in total anonymity. No contract, no monthly fee, no record of the call. What a boon to the lovelorn and the enraged. You needn't worry if the phone was tapped, and if you suspected it was, there was another just a few yards away. Even the act of hanging up a phone could be rich with dramatic texture. Who could forget De Niro and Goodfellas smashing the receiver on the coin box of a public phone? When that wasn't sufficiently cathartic, he shoved the entire booth over on its side. Fictive license. Phone booths were bolted to concrete bases. And how many tear-jerking scenes ended with a heartbroken hero being cut off when that 3-minute call was terminated by the phone company? Without question, the best part of pre-digital telephony was the anonymity. It took an order from a court to trace your calls, so there had to be a significant history of harassment or threats before a judge would sign off on that. Now the NSA sucks any and maybe every call or text right out of the air. Emails are doubtless just as easily monitored. Phones, corded phones, were an endless source of shenanigans, hijinks, and general gut-busting funny fuckery. My pals and I regularly used phones to toy with authority figures, classmates, institutions, radio talk show hosts, often with hilarious results. We were maestros of the prank call. Where we proved to be idiots was in failing to record those calls and turn them into cash, which was done by the famed Jerky Boys of the early 90s. Those guys sold over 8 million CDs. Their style was very different from ours. Seems they mostly set up their marks with weird premises and then bombarded them with insults and profanity. Our approach was more nuanced, clever. We pulled off one of our best phone capers at the college radio station where I was a DJ. There was a big-time talk radio personality in New York named Bob Grant. I actually liked the guy and his politics, but he was big game, and we always aimed high. Grant's show was very political. He savaged most leftist politicians, which, by today's standards, would be branded radical right-wingers. Sometimes Grant would just cover current events like this bizarre outbreak of an obscure respiratory ailment that killed several people. It was called Legionnaire's disease. Not because it was spread by French soldiers, but because the source bacteria was named Legionella. So at that time, New York was in a state of panic over this sickness, and Grant was taking listener phone calls. His show was very popular. It was difficult to get through. But at the college radio station, we had an edge. Phones with 5 separate lines. My buddy Bob and I furiously dialed the call-in number, so we were able to get through pretty easily. Then there were 2 of us, with very different natural voices, plus we each had a wide array of fake voices and accents, so we could get past the call screener, no problem. I was up first. Now, amateurs, they would go on the attack from the start, which made for short calls. What I did was stroke Grant's ego, so he was not on guard. Once he said, "Hello, and what do you think is causing Legionnaire's disease?" I started off with this.
"Yes, good afternoon, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Now, before I tell you my theory, I want to tell you I'm a very big fan for years now. And I was wondering, have you ever considered maybe using your formidable communication skills in public service?"
Now, Grant had once taken a run at mayor, so I knew that question would pump up his ego. He mentioned the mayoral run, but I interrupted him with,
"Well, I was thinking, Maybe something more beneficial to the city, like you... So suppose you was selling pretzels on the corner.
There was a long pause. Grant knew he'd been snookered. His tone shifted from friendly to scathing. He then asked me what variety of pretzels he should offer, soft or hard.
Soft, to match your head.
I heard a click. I'd been cut off. Meanwhile, Bobby dialed his phone and got right through, using his natural voice.
Good afternoon, Bob. I have a theory about what's infecting and killing New Yorkers with this Legionnaires thing.
Now Grant was again cordial. He was solicitous, and he asked Bobby to share his theory. When Bobby said,
I think those people died because they ate your pretzels.
That lit Grant's fuse. He hissed his stock line at Bobby.
Get off my phone, you creep!
I dialed again as fast as I could, but another two callers got through before me, which turned out to be a good thing because it made Grant think the trolling might be over. I changed my voice for the screener and was put through. When Grant said,
You're on the air,
I answered,
I'll take two pretzels, please.
Grant was now furious and berated his screener. What the hell was the matter with her, and couldn't she get the creep's voice down? He had not yet realized he was dealing with two creeps. We took a 5-minute break to let Grant simmer down. Then Bobby got through next.
Hello, Mr. Grant. I don't have a theory about Legionnaires' disease, but I do have a solution for the scourge of meter maids.
Oh, Grant hated meter maids. He was eager to hear Bobby's idea.
Instead of handing out parking tickets, they should give Bob Grant pretzels.
Grant completely lost his shit. He flew into a rage, told Bobby,
I'm gonna punch your nose right down your throat.
Through the fury, he did figure out that it was more than one guy tormenting him. He called us two queers who were tired of playing with each other, so we decided to play with him instead. We laughed so hard, we nearly peed our pants. Those were good times. Fun stunts. And I really did like Bob Grant, God rest him. But he was just such an easy target. Do people still do prank calls? Is call-in radio even a thing anymore? YouTube super chats are a snore. Twitter wars are mostly lame and predictable. Maybe someone will establish a real hate hotline like the one I imagined. Betcha that would reduce a lot of strokes, assaults, and murders. People need a way to blow off steam. And counting to 10 or doing push-ups or punching a pillow just doesn't cut it. Who knows what the next big thing will be in media? While we wait to find out, why not help this show grow by leaving a 5-star review wherever you download? Tell your friends about it. Send them links and post them on your social media. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes, and while you're there, click a subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Then punch the Patreon or PayPal button and make a pledge. Small or large, all are gratefully accepted, and help me keep calling out commie crud. I know this show is posting a day late. I hope to resume Wednesday posts next week. Things have been topsy-turvy since my escape from Commiefornia. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. And until next Wednesday or thereabouts, take no shit.